Good morning, everyone. It's very good to see you this morning. I'm Pastor Chris, and this is the road. In case you wandered into this place not knowing what it was called, you thought you were somewhere else, you're at the road. Glad that you're here. Hope you got a weekly in your hands, just kind of the GPS, sure, we can call it that too. And it's got all the information about what's coming up here at the road. And you added something you wanted to say, right? A little five-second blurb here. Go ahead and do that.
We all know that I can't.
Five seconds. I said so. 5 seconds.
No one time me, okay? We have got two lovely ladies that are expecting here at the church. And so over the next 3 weeks, this is what I'm asking you guys to do. If you would go out, if each family would go out and buy two packages of diapers, size 0 to size 4, anywhere in between there, and bring them for the masters and for the trans, that would be a wonderful gift to give them as a church. So two packages of diapers, one for the master's family, one for the trans, in the next 3 weeks. Okay? Thank you, guys.
Awesome, because you cannot have too many diapers. Believe me. Well, I just want to highlight a couple things that are coming up here. One is that on the 7th of May, we're having our next theology workshop. We didn't do one in April. We were just, it's too much going on. But May 7th, we'll be doing that. And so make a plan for that if you want to be a part of that. And then I have an update for you as far as the building in Howell is concerned. We have a meeting with the township in May because the April meeting was canceled. I don't really know why. They just didn't have it. And so we were not able to get our approved site plans back from them. Let's stamp on it and everything so we could go to the building department, get some permits and stuff. They had a couple things they wanted us to do. They wanted some easements, which is basically permission to be near the property line. I mean, in a nutshell, on a couple things, our driveway and some of the grading that needed to be done at the end of the driveway by the road. They wanted those things technically not required by law, but a lawyer on the commission said, do these things. It'll be in your benefit. Okay. So we did them. We're trying to toe the line. Now, I don't know about you. This is the understatement of the year. I'm getting a little impatient. Okay. I want to get in there. But we called the building department to clarify what can we do in that building right now. Okay. And basically, can we meet in the building? And the township has said yes. Go ahead. It's your property. And we can do as we please. And then an inspector at the building department said that we could meet. However, there is a little bit of gray on this one, all right? Because we've been told previously that we could not put up signs and have public services because we don't have an occupancy permit. So we're taking these things and trying to figure out what we're actually hearing. You know what I mean? We're trying to interpret. And we've asked several different people, and we are getting all these kind of mushy, guidelines. So here's what we're trying to do. We are trying to get into the building very, very soon. I'm not going to give you a date yet because there's still some things that have to happen. But we've had prayer meetings there. We've had potluck. We've had youth group meetings. We've been in the building. We've been using it. And so what we're going to do is have a couple work days. Okay. One on the 29th of April, one on the 6th of May. And so, there are some things that need to happen inside the building. If you've been in there lately, you know that there's some trim work around the doors. There's some flooring that needs to go down, some painting that has to be done, and just some general cleanup so that it's usable, you know, as we would like it for a worship service. If we can get things done in there in a timely way, if we can get a lot of those things wrapped up, then we can get in there before the end of May. Okay. But here's the thing. The flip side of that is we can't be putting out signs, hey, grand opening of the road here in this location. That's part of that gray. We're like, What can we do? What can't we do? So we can meet in there when we get those things out of the way. We can work out the kinks. You'll be able to walk in the building, see firsthand what needs to be done, and we'll get working on those things as soon as we get, you know, the building permits and all that, and the electrical and the plumbing is done. And it'll be a family gathering for a while, okay? Because no one will really know we're there, because there's no signage or anything. And so as we tick off the things the building department requires, we can have a grand opening later in the year. So as you can see, this is not like cut and dry. Like I'm having even trouble explaining it to you because it's like I don't really understand what we're hearing from the different authorities in Osceola Township. So I've talked to the elders about this, and that's what it boiled down to. They're like, well, we're hearing this from this. They're saying go ahead and meet. He's saying go ahead and meet there. Just don't put up signs. They're saying, you know, other whatever. So we're just going to get stuff done in there, and we're going to get in there. Some of the things that, by the way, we couldn't have done this a few months ago because we didn't have anything from the township, you know, that was could be interpreted as approval. So, and I know this is weird, very mushy. Community garden, parking area, and a few other things. Outdoors are some things we need done. But if you want to come help with indoor, there's plenty of that as well. Chris, you are putting together a list or have a list of what needs done. So it's in your GPS there. If you want to be a part of that, circle it, put it in the offering basket, talk to Chris Johnson or he'll contact you, let you know what is needed in the building, okay? And then you'll know what tools to bring and so forth. All right, so what I want to do right now is I would like to hear from you. You guys know that we just came through 40 days of fasting and prayer. We ended that last week on Easter. And I would like to know what happened. As you did this 40 days of surrender and prayer and saying, okay, God, I'm going to set this aside for this time period. Did God do anything in your life? It doesn't have to be earth-shattering, but did you hear him speak to you in a different way? Were you able to kind of clear away some of the distractions in your life and hear from God? What do you have to report? Anything? Yes, Jason. Awesome. I'm glad to hear that. Very good. Thank you. Anybody else? Matt was first. Good. Yeah, you're not the only one. Someone else, actually in the Fenton campus said they gave up TV and, he read like four or five books during the 40 days and just kind of connected better with his wife and everything. So it makes a huge difference. That's great. Okay. I actually saw two hands. Oh, you spoke up. Go ahead, Gordon.
Yeah, I gave up dairy. It was really rough because I like cheese, cows. So, yeah. Taking that moment and praying over time, God gave me a lot of clarity on my finances, my business, and ministry, and just being able to give him more time.
Great. Thank you. Was it you that? Yeah, go ahead, Nick.
I gave up all video games, all computer games, for some TV I watched. And so now I don't really have the dark or any of the mostly video games and computer games. So. Mm-hmm.
That's good. Thanks, Nick. Anybody else? Steve. Great. I'll tell you, you know, don't be afraid to do this on your own, to do it you know, for a day or 2 days or a week or whatever time frame you need in order to clear out some of the distractions and just, you know, get some time with God. It doesn't have to be 40 days. You can do it on your own. Anybody else? Okay. Well, I just know that we're going to be pursuing that again in the fall. We're going to have that as a church-wide time of prayer and fasting. So, just know that. Be aware of it. Let me pray with you, and then I'll let the kids head out in just a second. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for each person that's here this morning, because I know that they are not here by accident. And Lord, I pray that a lot. I say that a lot, but it's because I know that you are constantly at work, that you are sovereign over all things, that you are the God who draws men to himself. And so I know that you've brought us together today, this group of people. And God, I don't know what each person here needs to hear from you, but I pray that as I teach and as we look into your word, that whatever it is you have prepared for each person here, that they would be attentive, they would hear it, they would allow it to penetrate their heart and to bring about a change in their life. Lord, you know that I can't possibly say all the things and understand all the hurts and all the issues that are going on here today. That comes through your Holy Spirit and just your way. I don't know how you do it, but you are God and you can speak to each one of us. The same thing can come out of my mouth and it can be heard in different ways. And that's just the miracle of how you work. And so I thank you for that. God, I thank you that, we are, moving forward with this building. And Lord, there's still a lot of unknowns and things that I'm not certain about, but we're going based on the best information we have. And so, God, I pray that you would bless these work days. We'll be able to get the things done that we need to get done, that you would allow us to get into that building in a timely fashion. Lord, we pray that it would just continue in our minds to be the tool that it is, not the end-all, be-all for the road, but just another tool in our toolbox that we can use to minister to others. God, I want to pray for each person here that is currently praying for and working with an individual in their life that does not know you as their Savior. Lord, I pray that because there's several that you've brought into my field of view recently that I know need you desperately. And Lord, I know the challenge of being in those conversations and knowing when to speak up for you, when to inject you into the conversation, how to do it in a way that is not overbearing or condemning. And God, I know that there are individuals here that are dealing with that on a daily basis as they go to work or they go to school or they talk to neighbors. Lord, give them the wisdom to know when to speak up for you, to guide someone toward you, toward your truth, that they would do it in such a way that it just brings them right into the conversation and they can freely discuss their faith. And Lord, I pray that the people that they're talking to would respond in the right way, that they would be drawn to the love and the joy and the peace that they see in us. And Father, we know we can't be people of joy, peace, and love unless we allow you to have your way in us and to be that in our hearts. So let us be those people that walk around throughout our week just giving that off. Just people would see it in us, see your joy, see our peace, see the love that you've put into us. Lord, we pray your blessing on this time this morning, and the word that is preached and the fellowship here. Lord, use it. And I pray that you'd use us, that we would walk out of here supercharged, powered up, ready to be your hands and feet in this community. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm going to let the kids head downstairs. So last year, I said we were going to start a series or start a project to preach through all the commands of Jesus. And Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20 say this. It says we're to go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And one of the things that I noticed last year before I started this series was that a lot of times I hear the go preached. Go, gotta be missionaries, gotta tell people about Jesus. I hear the make disciples thing because, you know, as a church, we're trying to make disciples here. We're trying to make or develop followers of Jesus. Alright, so if you come here, but you don't really, your heart's not drawn to Jesus, your heart's not drawn to follow Him, this is sort of just a check mark in your list of things to do during the week. Okay, we're failing. So I've heard the go, I've heard the make disciples, of course we baptize, but then you get to verse 20, and some people say, well, that's just part of discipleship. Yeah, it is, but how often does our discipleship include actually teaching the commands of Jesus? So I said, let's look, how many commands are here in the Gospels? How many times does Jesus actually issue a thou shall or you must, you know, issue a command? And so I listed them all. I grouped them according to topic. And I divided them into 10 different series. Okay, so we did two of those last year. We're on the third now. And these commands that we're going to look at all relate to salvation and eternity. And so for the next, I think, 6 weeks, we're going to be looking at these different commands of Jesus. Now, how many of you heard of the poet Robert Frost? Okay, a few hands. If you paid attention at all in English, whether high school or college, you should have heard that name. He wrote a poem that has become part of the cultural vernacular, okay? Just a thing that we hear, we use it a lot. And I'll read the last few lines of this poem. Two roads diverged in a wood. And I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. Read that, right? Seen that? It's been quoted, put on bumper stickers, on placards, it's hung in classrooms. It is a great sentiment. Take the path less traveled. It sounds pioneering, it sounds bold and audacious. You know, take the path that fewer have traveled. It says, I don't go with the crowd. I'm my own person. I've got my own mind. I'm an independent thinker. I think Frost is a great poet. I think he captured the idea well. The only thing is, I don't think that this is the experience of the majority. I don't think most people, they read it and go, yeah, that's great. But that's not the way our culture works. Most people would affirm that sentiment. They would like to believe that they're the type that would travel the road that's less used, go against the popular and accepted and safe paths. But it's not the case. It's the reason that someone who does something out of the ordinary, where they kind of break out, you know, they break out of the accepted molds, we go, wow, that was awesome, and we applaud them because they did this. And then we go back to walking the same paths as everyone else. Roads less traveled are less traveled for a reason. Okay, usually they contain mystery. They're more dangerous. If there's a path that's less traveled, there's probably no guarantee of an exit once you get on that path. The only way back is to turn around. You don't even know sometimes where the less traveled path goes. I know whenever I've walked nature trails, the more developed the trail is, the more disappointing it is. You know, if you've ever gone to a state forest or state park or whatever, sometimes there are paths, you know, that you can hike or whatever, and you can be out in the middle of what seems like nowhere. You're like, man, there's probably only a few hundred people that have ever walked this path, and you're looking around. It's just, you know, how magnificent is this? You're just out there with seeing deer run by, and wow. And then you come to a boardwalk, a handrail, and a placard that tells you what birds that you can see in the area. You know, you're like, okay, well, I guess, you know, a few people have been here before. And for me, sometimes I want to walk where others have walked. And it's, you know, good to do what others have done. But other times I want to walk that path that no one's ever been on. I want to go another way. I want to blaze new trails. But we're all unique individuals. And there are some things in life that we shouldn't want to do like everyone else. Just because it's the accepted path and everyone seems to be walking it doesn't mean it's the best path, right? There are times where we should want to do something different. Now let's read our command for today. If you haven't already guessed it, it's Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Jesus' command to us is to enter by the narrow gate. It's narrow, it's hard, and few go through it. To me, it sounds like a road less traveled. Okay? Now, what is this gate? What is he talking about? Enter by the narrow gate. Where does this gate lead? What makes it a gate that so few travel through? Well, these are the questions that are going to guide this teaching today. So this is my narrow gate. Okay? And if we could imagine that going through this door, so I'm going to move this box here. Imagine if we going through this door that once you go through it, by the way, no doorknob, you know, I wasn't going to spring for that. This is just in my garage. I said, I'm going to just throw this thing together. So imagine that once you walk through this door frame just extends on both sides and just extends. And that's your path. That's the narrow path. And everywhere out here and out there, that's the wide path. That's the wide gate. But this is the narrow gate. You go through and it's like this all the way, 32 inches. Just imagine that. Okay. You have to use a little imagination. And we're going to use this as a visual today for what Jesus is talking about. And by the way, if you want to, you know, throw in the no doorknob thing and make it part of the symbolism, you go ahead and do that. You can tell me later what you thought that, what you think that means. But he says, enter by the narrow gate. And Jesus tells us there's two paths in life. Okay? Or two ways. And a way is a course of conduct. A way is a manner of thinking. And there are two paths in life. One of them leads to life. One of them leads to destruction. So we're going to talk about the path that leads to destruction first. Okay? That'll be a lot of fun. So Jesus says this is an easy path. It's a wide path. Lots of people are on this path. Where is this path going? Well, Jesus says destruction. What does he mean by destruction? Well, here, it means a loss of well-being. Okay? It is an eternal state of spiritual and personal ruin. An eternal state of spiritual and personal ruin. This is a ruin and loss that you cannot come back from. A lot of times, you know, you'll encounter difficulties in life and people are like, hey, there's a second chance. You can come back from this. You can't come back from this type of destruction. Now, you can get off the wide path. We'll talk about that a little later. But once you come to the end of this wide path, there's no coming back from that. Okay? There's a path in this life that will lead you to destruction, where everything you hold dear will be lost, and you will regret the choices that you have made. This path leads to eternal separation from Jesus in hell. Now, if this path leads to destruction, why does Jesus say there are many on it? I mean, doesn't that seem like a no-brainer? Path leads to destruction, don't go that way. You think, okay, well, let's not do that. Why would anyone choose to be on this path? Well, Jesus actually gives us a couple reasons why people choose this path. And it's really simple. I mean, it's not like rocket science here. What does he say about the path? He says, first of all, it's wide. It's a wide path. That's a great reason to be on that path in most people's minds. When our family, just a couple weeks ago, we spent one day by the good grace of our friends helping us out, went to the Magic Kingdom for one day. And one of the things that was not so magical about that kingdom was the crowds, okay? Because there were times where, you know, we wanted to walk from point A to point B. But it was me holding Sophia's hand, and she's behind me, and I'm kind of dragging her through as I'm, you know, making my way through the crowds. And everybody else is strung out single file, and we're like, we'll meet you at the ride, you know, because it was really busy. It's nice to walk on a wide path. That's why when we walk around Fenton as a family, sometimes we end up strung out across the entire road, which I don't recommend. It's like, all right, everybody to the side, everybody to the side. Comes a car. And we have to move back to the side, or we walk on the sidewalk where you can only go two across, which is okay. But a wide path accommodates travel together. You know, you can see if you're strung out, you know, five or six across, you can see that you're walking with friends. Hey, what's up? And you can talk to them. They're not like way back behind you. You can see what's ahead. A wide path allows you to catch a glimpse of what's around the next bend, if there is one. And with so many people on a wide path, you get information about what's ahead. You're all sharing the roadway. There's a spirit of camaraderie. We're all in this together. And yet, it's a path to destruction. Jesus gives us the second reason people are on this path. Not only is it wide, it's also easy. It's an easy path to walk. It's flat, it's wide, it's paved well, lots of stops along the way. It's kind of like the difference between, how many of you have ever driven through the Smoky Mountains? Yeah, and I mean, not just on the expressway, I mean like, through the Smoky Mountains. Right? Like around these curves and up and down and you're ready to just lose your lunch. Okay? It's the
difference between that and then, I mean, how many of you have driven across like Iowa or Kansas? It's just like straight. Yeah. Nothing. Just wide open. That's what we're talking about. That's the difference, okay? There's no curves. It's wide open road. It's easy. It's easy driving. If you're well aligned, I mean, you can set the cruise and just, you know, take a nap and just, you know, go. I don't stop. Just don't do that. You can have one of your kids come and reach over to the seat and just kind of adjust. I recommend that. But there's very little resistance. There's very little struggle. It's just this wide open road. It's easy to walk. It's life on the mic. It's easy. There's struggles maybe. There's certain areas of life that might be difficult, but for the most part, there's nothing we're struggling against. We're on the widening path. There's no demands on us to do what we like. We can carry a lot with us, or we can carry nothing at all. What can we choose? Do as we please. And so the wide road or the wide gate is traveled by the majority because it's wide and it's easy. And if you follow this path to the end, there you drop off. Flip. Okay? And you die. I looked at a bunch of cartoons this week while I was, because I Googled narrow path, and almost every one of them was running. They're all on this little narrow path, and they're just marching on. Of course, the ones in front, all kinds of variations, like one lemming is going off with a parachute, and I'm like, I don't think Larry's committed to the cause, you know, or something like that, and jumping off the cliff with a parachute, or one of them was a whole group of lemmings moving off the cliff, and I'm sorry, Larry, I used your name. Moving off the cliff, and one of them in the background is going, I've got a bad feeling about this, you know, but off they go, off the cliff, you know. But if you had a choice between a narrow, difficult path and a wide, easy one, most of us would choose the wide, easy one, unless there was a picture of skull and crossbones at the head of the wide one saying, don't go this way. So why do so many spiritually choose the wide, easy path leading to destruction? Let me give you a few reasons. One reason I think people choose it is out of ignorance. We know people like this. Okay? Maybe they missed the sign. Maybe no one told them that there was another way. No one ever told them that their biggest problem in life was their sin. They just don't know. So they just keep living their life the way they've always lived it, and no one's told them different. They've never been confronted with the fact that there's another path in life. For some people, it's selfishness. They're walking the wide path out of selfishness. People want what they want. You know, the path they're on, their way of life, is exactly what they want to do, regardless of what other options might be out there. Some people walk the wide path because they're in bondage. They're enslaved by something. The wide path has a way of getting hooks into you, and it doesn't want to let you go. For example, a man or a woman begins to be sexually promiscuous at a young age. They engage in all kinds of sexual behavior, but when they're presented with an alternative, an exit ramp off of that life, to believe that what they're doing is normal, it's accepted, it's wrong with this. And leaving the wide path, even though it represents freedom, it looks to them like restriction. Or the person who's addicted to a drug of some kind, whether it's, you know, smoked, snorted, injected, or tall, or whatever, and it's in them, it's got its hooks in them, that drug holds them in bondage. And the wide path is terrible. It's killing them, but they're powerless to leave. The hooks are so deep they can't see a way out. The same is true if they're immersed in pornography, or if a person lies compulsively, or if a person is consumed with success or pride. Leaving the wide path means admitting that they were wrong. They're in bondage, they're locked in, they're enslaved to whatever is keeping them on the path. And leaving that path means coming clean so they can get to the ground. There's a lot of wide path. Really, what they're doing is the definition of insanity. Down this path, they're doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. When I take this drug, or I sleep with this person, or I step on this person to advance myself over them, then it will satisfy me, but it never does. Talk about the narrow way. It's the way to life. Narrow, and it's hard. What does Jesus mean by narrow? Well,
mean, we can imagine, you know, this narrow, this 32-inch wide path. But the word narrow here is from a root word meaning to groom. It's figuratively a narrow way because it goes against your natural inclination. You can imagine, you were going through and maybe you got to be more narrow at some point. You might be like, oh, get me out of here, you know, it's squeezing your way through. It's going against your natural inclination. You want to be in the wide open spaces. It's restricting in that you can't go wherever you want. I know I told you guys about this last summer. Our family went to the New York Cave. Remember me telling you about Batman's Misery? Okay. This is the middle of Mammoth Cave. We're like 400 feet underground, and the path narrows to like that, right? Well, maybe a little bit more space up above the waist. But we're shimmying through these little gaps like this. Well, he was running through them, but I'm like sideways, you know, trying to get through there. And I guess you could say that I was groaning, because it definitely went against my natural inclination to be in there. I mean, Gabe was like,
what?
I was breathing heavy, and Gabe was only 10 feet ahead of me, but like, does it open up there? Are we out yet? Yeah, I mean, I was having a hard time in there. Oh, get me out of here. And just like a small cave can go against our natural inclination, a narrow way of life can do the same. It goes against our brain to live God's way. He also calls this narrow way hard. He means it's an afflicting, pressing, and distressing way. Not because God makes it hard. Okay? That's not like putting up a narrow gate and saying, well, I'm going to flog you the whole way. That's not what it's about. It's hard because it's a life of surrender. And it's a conflict with the old way we used to walk and with the people we used to walk on the wide path with. That makes it difficult. And sometimes we're walking the narrow path and it doesn't look like there's anybody next to us. It doesn't look like we're traveling with friends like we are on the wide path. We are, but it doesn't always feel that way. And we can't see what's around the next bend. We have no certainty about what's happening. It's a way of trust. Now, like I said, let's imagine this door is the narrow way. And let's say that this box, a group of boxes here, is all the stuff that I want to take with me on the narrow way. Now, you can see that these boxes are linked, okay? I can't pick them all up at once. And no matter how I twist or turn this group of boxes, they're not going to go through this door. I measure, okay? And I don't think even those geometry folks out there can figure that out, how to get that through. Maybe. I don't know. Let's just say you can't get through, all right, for means of illustration. So I want to walk the narrow way, and I want to bring this with me. And this represents the things that I had on the wide path, the ideas, the ways of living, the behaviors that I had on the wide path. And I want to take these things, and I want to get through this narrow gate that Jesus is talking about. Of course, there's a problem. This is wider than the door, and I can't get my stuff there. So maybe if I take a few pieces and parts out of this, you know, setup here, I might be able to get it through. I'm going to take a few beliefs onto the path, but these are the things I have to leave behind. And maybe you've talked to people who would say these beliefs that I'm about to share with you, maybe not stated exactly this way, but similar to this. Here's the first one. It doesn't really matter what I believe. As everyone is going, talk to people just this week who have said, I don't really know what's happening when this life is over. I guess it doesn't really matter. I've had a lot of people I know die and they're in a better place. Things of that nature. It does matter. It does matter what Jesus says about who's going to heaven and who's walking the narrow path. He says there are few on the narrow path. Not everyone is going to walk the narrow path or get through the narrow gate. So it does matter what you believe. It does matter when Jesus says not everyone's going to get through. So let's see. That's, there we go. That doesn't help a whole lot. Maybe you've heard this one. People say, well, sin is not an issue. I can walk the narrow path, and sin is not really an issue because Jesus, he not only accepts me, he's just okay with my sin. I want you to know there are pastors and churches that would say, hey, you're okay. Jesus loves you. You are. Guess what? I agree with that. They don't go on to add that he doesn't want to leave you. Sin, saying sin is not an issue. Jesus, is, he just accepts me. He's not judgmental. He's okay with what I'm doing. Guys, sin is 100% the issue. 100%. You can't get through the gate if you're clinging to sin. You can't think Jesus is awesome and loves everyone and then somehow ignore the fact that he came to deal with sin. Why he came? John 3:17 says he didn't come into the world to condemn it. Through him might be saved. So yes, I've heard people say, well, he didn't come to condemn us. No, he didn't. Our sin condemns us. Okay? He didn't come to do that. He came to save us. But guess what? He's going to come back as a judge. He's going to judge us. Jesus does accept us as we are, but he also doesn't let us stay that way. Philippians 1:6 says that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. He might have started something in you, loved you, saved you, but then he's going to work on you, and he's going to clean you up. So do you have to get clean before you come into the church? No. No. You come in here, filthy, dirty, full of sin, whatever, your life can be an absolute disaster. You're welcome here. And you're welcome at the feet of Jesus. If you want to see something happen in your life, at the feet of Jesus, you need to. That good work that Jesus does in us is transforming us to be more like himself, and it's something that starts at salvation and he continues it until he returns. So the notion that Jesus is okay with your sin is definitely a remnant of wide path. A lot of people going around saying, it really matters. It doesn't matter what. So let's move this box here. See if that helps at all. That can hold together. It's just happening. Here's another one. I can still run my own life. I hear this one expressed as, you know, maybe not exactly this way, but Jesus is an add-on. Of course, that's a lie straight from the wide path. That Jesus is just something you can kind of tack on to your life. I saw this a lot about 15 years ago when everyone was wearing Jesus is my homeboy shirts. Remember those? Jesus cannot be your homeboy, not also your Savior and Lord. So a lot of people are like, I'm just going to make Jesus my homeboy. Okay, well, you let me know how it works out for you. There's a bumper sticker out there, and I haven't seen it lately, but I did find it on Google. Try Jesus. If you don't like him, the devil will take you back. Yeah. And I think, you know, a lot of people found that humorous, but here's the thing. You don't try Jesus. There's no 60-day money-back guarantee on Jesus, you know? He's not an add-on. He's not just something that you're like, well, I think I'll just tack this part of, you know, spirituality on in my life. Do you treat the church like a civic organization or a club you're a part of? Not the Elks or the Moose or the Masons or the Daughters of the American Revolution or Kiwanis or Rotary, or the Girl Scouts, or the BFW. Not who we are. Those are add-ons. Those are things you do to help out, to give of your time, to benefit your community. But when you say yes to Jesus and participate in this church, it's a life-changing venture. The idea that you can walk the narrow road as Jesus describes it and still run your life is complete and utter nonsense. Jesus is not just an add-on. He is a game-changer, a life-changer. And to say that he's not is wise path thinking. So, we've got a... Let's try to... Don't you let go. Got more tape? I'm going to have to retake before the next. Here's another thing. And this one is really prevalent when it comes to the narrow path. It seems too narrow. this seems too narrow to me. Let's loosen the restrictions. Let's get in here with a, you know, some kind of, you know, I don't know, pry bar or hydraulic thingy, I don't know, and just let's push these walls out. Let's open this up a little. Let's move more people in because it's too narrow. The restrictions are too big, and it's too narrow. The narrow path is fat man's misery, and these people are huge. You know what I mean? They can't get through. There are people that I love who will never submit to God's way of doing it because they just, it's too narrow. And instead of submitting to God's design for life, they will try to find a loophole. You know, when God said that, you know, behavior was a sin, what he really meant was that part of the Bible doesn't count because we've come to see it scientifically or culturally, or, you know, we reinterpret that, blah, 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 blah. Let's loosen the restrictions. Let's open things up a little bit. The truth is that the width of the gate is set by Jesus. Set its dimensions, parameters. John 14:6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is what is required to enter. Now, I could take pieces and parts of this all day. It's just, you know, keep pulling pieces off of that. What's the real problem here? The problem is the box, okay? It's not even necessarily what's in it or the different pieces and parts. It's just the box itself. What's really missing here is my personal surrender. I've got to do something more drastic than just shave off different ideas and ways of thinking. See if this works. There's only one thing that goes through the door. Oh, so close. So close. Thanks, buddy. Can't bring wide path thinking to the narrow path. Time for letting go. There's only one thing Jesus says we need to carry with us on this journey down the narrow path. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. It says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, for whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? This is what goes down the narrow path, guys. What we carry with us. The cross represents your surrender to Jesus. When you walk the narrow path, it's not about you anymore. It's about Him and what He wants for you. And that's not the drumbeat of our culture at all. Our world tells us the opposite. It's all about you. It's all about what you want. But that's the difference between the wide path and the narrow path. That's why it's so hard to get off the wide path, because we don't want to think about anything other than ourselves. Wide path leads to destruction, the narrow path leads to life. I got a couple questions. Obviously, the first one is, what path are you on? What gate are you passing through right now? Some of you are on the wide path, and you keep passing the exit ramps. Get off the wide path, but you're like, no. I like what's going on. I like what I'm doing. And you don't know how you can surrender to Jesus. Some of you are on the narrow path, into some wide path ways. The old ways are creeping up. I want you to know that's part of what Jesus was talking about. That's what Paul was saying when he said that good work that's begun in you will be brought to completion. Most of the times where we maybe feel like we're walking alone. We're on the narrow path, and the wide path is calling to us. It doesn't feel like you're traveling with friends. It doesn't feel like, you know, this narrow path, this decision you made is working out. Jesus walks with you. Always walks with you. So if you're here this morning and you're saying, I think I'm on that wide path. I've got some wrong ideas about things. Let's get that taken care of today. this week, text me, whatever, let's go get coffee, we can talk. Don't leave here today in one of those two struggles. Let's close with a song.